welcome to this week's episode of News of the North. It's November 29th, 2016, and I'm your host, Paul Filion, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron. Hey, Antoine, how's it going this week?
Pretty good. Busy.
Well, we're always busy, Antoine. That's not news.
I'm looking forward to the Christmas holidays break.
I'm also looking forward. I think I'm going to take a week off around Christmas because this is killing me.
Yeah, I'm lucky. I get 2 full weeks with work. So,
well, screw you. Okay.
Yeah. That's 2 full weeks without daycare also, so I have the 2 kids by that time. It was during that time.
Fair.
Without the wife, so I have the 2 kids.
You couldn't just take the kids to daycare anyway?
No, it's closed.
Daycare closes for 2 weeks?
No, just one, but the Theodore, the older one, the oldest, doesn't have daycare, so.
Oh, that's true. That's true. He's in school now.
Yep.
Fair point. All right. Well, I guess we'll go right to the news. I don't know why it feels like such a downer now that I realize your vacation isn't going to be much vacation.
Oh, that's fine. It's better than nothing.
True enough. All right. So this week, it looks like we got the exact opposite of last week. Mm-hmm. All kinds of non-crowdfunding news. Not much in the way of crowdfunding aside from one huge Kickstarter. So that being said, I will start with the non-crowdfunding stuff, as we always do. And first up this week, something near and dear to your heart, I know, Steamforge Games has some new releases. Why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, so that's a big item. This weekend was the release of Season 3. With that came the new Kickoff Box, which is their new two-player starter set, with already assembled plastic miniatures, everything you need to play the game. And on top of that, they also add a bunch of the last veteran players from Season 2 were releasing this weekend. So, veteran Brisket, veteran Harmony, veteran Catalyst, and veteran Spigot. So, lots of stuff for my favorite Grin game.
Nice. And they announced some big things because it was their big convention, their SteamCon, right?
Yeah, it was SteamCon during the weekend. I haven't listened to the keynote. And I haven't had time during the weekend to really look online. So I know they announced some terrain and gold markers and some of the new players, but I'm not up to date.
Well, the big change I was referring to is the fact that they're moving away from resin and metal models and going to all plastics. So I thought that was a major change for them.
That is.
So I'll be interested to see those plastic models.
Yeah. As a painter, that's depending on what type of plastic they go and the casting, that might not be my favorite move from them.
Yeah. I know they said when the release date was too for the new stuff, but I don't know what it is off the top of my head, so we'll be talking about that in the future, I'm sure, as more news becomes available. Okay, moving along. Next up, we have Puppets War with Undead Knights.
Yes, we talked offline about those during the week, about how much we like them. They are fantastic. So 5 skeletons, heavily armored with different kind of weapon assortment, either longsword, small melee weapon with shield, a jousting lance with a shield, a pole arm, two-handed sword broken, and cool lumbering poses.
Yeah, the pose on these is amazing. I don't think I've ever seen undead skeleton miniatures that really convey that sense of like the jerky movement like these do. The posing is amazing on this.
Yeah.
Puppets War is really upping their game and releasing a lot of cool stuff that's not, you know, 40k related or 40k count as. Pretty impressive release from them. What do we got next? Pulp Monsters, Pulp City November releases.
So this week we have the new resculpt of Twilight. We also have the Rise of Bramble and the 5 models for the Supreme Alliance that were in on Kickstarter earlier this year or late last year, which are Spybreaker, Aquanaut, Battlesuit 7, Ecto, and Sabotage. Those five guys, the Kickstarter was for the Supreme Alliance versus, I don't remember the name of the team, but like a Russian superhero team. So you had the American and the Russian, or the good guys versus the, well, not even good guys, but Liberty Fighters versus the Commies, maybe. Depending, good guys being a lot dependent on which side you agree with.
Exactly.
But, however, they look good, and I'm pretty sure the second squad, the Commies one, the Reds, if you want, will come out probably next month or early next year. But they look good. I'm a really big fan of Spybreaker.
Which one is Spybreaker?
The one with the shield.
Let me just take a look at him. Oh, he does look cool.
The spike shield?
Yeah. He looks kind of like a Captain America meets the Rocketeer, kind of. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Pretty cool. You know, we don't hear a lot about Pulp City, and it's unfortunate because when I tried the game, I thought it had a lot of really cool mechanics and a lot of neat possibilities.
Mm. There was not a lot of release recently because of the Kickstarter, and now they are finally starting to come out again. So,
yeah, no, it's definitely a game worth checking out because it's a really fun, dynamic game to play.
I can't wait to have my first game. I'm pinning those literally right now. I stopped working on Silver Rager to do the recording. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully we'll get back to that soon. All right. Next up, World of Twilight, new releases for Twilight.
So they have some releases. What are they called already?
I don't think we've ever talked about this game, have we?
We have in the past, but it's been a while. I don't remember. And the release they have this time is the Yartane, which is kind of a owl grizzly.
It's all I was going to say, it kind of looks like an owl bear. Yeah,
yeah, but winter one.
Yeah, exactly. And the
second is a Taxiran. That's like a shamanistic character that comes with one of the Yartane. So it's probably a character. I don't play the game, but I like the look of it.
Yeah. They're very cool looking. I have to agree. And whoever painted the Yartane or whatever the Yeti owlbear thing is did a good job of conveying that it's furry. Because looking close at them all, I realized it's not textured. It doesn't seem to be textured anyway. It's that's all painted in. So they did a very good job. No, definitely an interesting look on those models. Mm-hmm. So worth checking out. Next up, Black Sun Miniatures, Aura.
This is a 75mm scale miniature of a sword master, a female sword master. That's probably how I would put it. She has a long coat and what concept looks like a katana blade, maybe.
Yeah, the concept art looks very much punk rocker with a sword, but it's an excellent looking model. I love that we're seeing so many of these large scale models now at like such a reasonable price too.
Yes.
Because she only lists for £35. That's what, about $50 for a 75mm model?
Yeah, that's big. So.
Yeah. Well, it looks to be probably 5 inches high, right?
Yeah, probably. So
81mm to the top of here, so.
Yep, that's it.
That can't be off that much from 5 inches, so. Oh, she's a nice looking model. See, it makes me think almost Dark Eldar-y or something. I don't know.
Yeah, mix that with the Underworld.
Yeah, exactly. Very cool. And then Black Sun, makers of all the cool models lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we gotta stop putting them in the news doc, because every week I get closer and closer to buying stuff. Next up, Fireforge Games, Albion's Knights on Pegasus.
Yeah, pre-order. This is a big release for Fireforge Games. Because up to
is
now...
Is this what I think it is?
For what I remember, they only release historical stuff. So those are Pegasus Rider for Ninth Age.
Bretonians.
I don't know new name of the...
Whatever
it's
they're
called. It's probably Albion for the new name in Ninth Age. But they are Pegasus Knights for Ninth Age. So this is the first time, to my knowledge, that Fireforge did anything fantasy related. They already released stuff for Ninth Age, but it was always purely medieval stuff that could pass for either Bretonian. The last one we talked about were medieval archers, which fits perfectly for Bretonian archers. But those are clearly fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
Fantasy.
And again, good price. Five models for 27 euros?
Yes.
Because they're going to be big models, right? They're big guys on horses.
Mm-hmm.
It's surprising. You know, Ninth Age is... It's unfortunate it's not more popular. Mm-hmm. I really want it to be, but I had to keep myself in check and remember that Warhammer Fantasy wasn't that popular, right? So, can't expect Ninth Age to do more than that.
No, especially as... Yeah, it's supported by companies, but it's not a company that's putting out the game itself, and lots of people are not to rebuke or... I don't have the right word for it.
Are not what? French word. What's the French word?
Repoussé par cette idée.
Turned
off.
Turned off, yeah.
Yeah.
They're turned off by the idea that it's not officially supported by anyone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's my biggest problem with Ninth Age myself. But the idea, I hate the idea of having all these fantasy models that I can't use for anything. Well, anything aside from Age of Sigmar, anyway.
Or good Kings for Fire of Forge War games. Or Ninth Age.
That's true. I could use them in Kings of War as well. That's true. And Ninth Age, yeah, no, that's exactly. That's why I want Ninth Age to take off. I really wanted to use them for. I miss Warhammer Fantasy. I mean, there's nothing stopping me from playing 8th, I suppose. But anyway, that's a story for another podcast. This is the news. And what do we have next? We have Kedwalin miniatures.
This is...
I don't even know what the Bazooka Tea Ceremony. Sorry.
Yeah. This is a small goblin doing exactly that. It's doing his own tea ceremony, brewing his tea with his helmet on the side. It's nice little vignette.
That's really cute. And that goblin, the face is so detailed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a goblin, so I don't imagine he's very big, but...
it's based on the older Rackham line, so the goblins were pretty small.
Yeah. I was wondering about that when I saw Kedwalin miniatures. I was like...
Yeah, so there's a big thing surrounding Kedwalin and about the IP and everything. So we mentioned it. It's not like we endorse them or not.
Yeah.
We just mentioned that the model is out. Because that's not a recast like other stuff they have been accused of doing. Yeah. However, that's using an IP that's not clearly set on who is owning it. So.
Well, I thought Cool Mini owned all of the Rackham stuff.
Or part of?
Or do they just have all the model rights?
Yeah, there's a lot of unclear stuff about that.
And the thing is, no one has the... No one in this industry really has the money for the legal, the legal recourse that they should have, aside from GW.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough. All right. Next up, Warlord Games. British and Soviet starter sets. Ooh.
Yeah, those are for Conflict 47. I forgot to add that in the title. So we finally have the other two faction in the four base faction to play Conflict 47 with weird stuff.
Oh my goodness, I love the British robots.
Yeah, so the British have a tank, a walker, and, well, regular infantry, and a unit of 5 automatons.
I mean, the infantry look like infantry. The tank appears to have some sort of Tesla gun, which is always good. The walker looks like the U.S. walkers, I believe. Maybe with some mild changes, but I think the overall chassis is the same as the U.S., isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
But those automatons are really cool looking. The, I don't know if that's, is that World War One helmets on them? Like the...
Looks like it.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And what was the other starter?
The Soviets.
Oh, I didn't look at this ahead of time, so I'm going to... Totally what I expected. Big, giant, clanky, like probably super heavy armored, really slow moving stuff.
Yeah, they have what they call a Cossack light walker. And it has a weird shape compared to other stuff that came out for the game. It, more like a chicken legged.
It's all legs.
Yeah.
It's like someone took a Night Titan and chopped the top off.
Yeah.
And put a gun on its crotch.
Exactly.
But again, yeah, so it's a strange look, but it's got an appeal to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you have that. You have one medium tank with a strange kind of turret weapon that has pretty weird rules. You have 40 Soviet infantry, so which is a lot more than the other boxes, and 5 heavy infantry. So 5 guys in heavy armor. They look like walking trash cans.
They make me think of like the first generation Iron Man armor. You know, kind of like big and bulky and not very stylized. And the big like face plates that look like welder masks.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I am loving what they're doing with this line. I may have to pick up some of this stuff just so when I go to Adepticon, I can... get Jim Wapple to give me some demonstrations for his weathering techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So I can apply it to something that's appropriate, you know? Because, wow. Game is looking better and better. All right. Also from Warlord Games. Oh, God. Big name. Boromite Broodmother for Beyond the Gates of Antares.
This is a giant rock monsters with too many... gun turrets strapped on his back.
And a guy with a control pod. Right?
There's a guy in there.
Yeah, yeah. In the middle. He comes with 2 variant heads, even one with a helmet, one without.
Wow. He's so busy I haven't seen it. Oh yeah. Okay.
He's kind of sitting between the turrets.
Yes, yes, yes. It was not in the angles I was looking at.
Yeah, it's he's there. He's just weirdly positioned. It's a strange looking, cool looking, different take on a weapons platform.
Yeah, for sure.
That's about all I can say on it. That and ouch at the price tag.
Yeah, this miniature is so big that they do it to order.
Yeah. I mean, it's gargantuan sized, I guess, from Hordes, maybe even slightly bigger.
Yeah, we don't have an exact size on it. And, only that it's a regular game scale, but not the size for it.
About 130, 135 Canadian, I guess?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so quite a price tag attached, but he's probably largely resin, so that doesn't make it... Yeah, I'm guessing it's resin with...
to cast... It's metal and resin.
Yeah.
If they cast it on order, it's sure it's not plastic, so.
Yeah. And I'm guessing the majority of the body and legs and stuff are resin, and just the gun bits are metal, and the accessories on top. Yeah. All right. I misread this one. Forge World Legio Custodes Caladius Grav Tank. Let's start the row again. Forge World Legio Custodes Caladius Grav Tank.
So this is giant floating tanks for Warhammer 30,000.
Yep. So you can, those 5 models that came, or whatever models that came in your Prospero box, you can have them ride to battle in style.
Yeah, because is there anything else that goes with them right now?
So, no, not yet. That's the only models that exist and to date.
Yeah. So you can get that model alone, or they also have a combined box where you can get that and the five models from the box. You have what they call the custodian guards. So you have a combo pack.
I'm curious, what's the price difference between the two? Holy.
It's sorry. £35 more.
£35 for five plastic models.
Yeah.
That's pretty insane.
Yeah, because the box combo with a ton of stuff, not just those. So you really want more of them if you pay that price just for the five.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can get the box and just sell the rest, and that will almost pay for your tank.
Yeah, for sure. That's kind of crazy. It is a cool looking tank, though.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's £85 cool, but it's very cool. 30k, man. Love the aesthetic. All right. This was also this week. Games Workshop had a little release. You may have heard of it. It's called Blood Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Brief release box of Blood Bowl. So this week you had the core box with the human and orcs. And you also had what they called Blood Bowl Dead Zone Season 1, which is a small book which have other players and the other teams that are not in the core box for the first season. So, but what they call the star players?
Yeah. And it gives you... Actually, are there star players there? I thought they were, but maybe I'm mistaken. Let me just double check.
There are a bunch in the base box. So I don't know if there are more.
It gives you seven new teams. So Skaven, Nurgle, Dwarf, Elven Union, High Elf, Dark Elf, and Wood Elf.
Oh, yeah. And there's a big list of star players at the end of this description. So, yeah.
Okay.
Other rules for coach, staff, and stuff like that were in the full rules. What's this called? The living rule book.
You're right.
Exhibition matches, stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's... I don't know if it's a hardcover or softcover, but at $30 Canadian, I don't think it's horrendously overpriced. It's nice to see GW releasing stuff at price points that make sense again.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, it's not a very long book. It's only 48 pages.
Yeah.
So.
But it's again, a good thing that for what's contained in the book, they didn't just pad it with 100 pages of fluff and pictures just to up the price.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. All right. And... Well, I guess that only takes us to the one Kickstarter we have this week.
And there's probably a big reason why there is only one.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one's hardly worth mentioning. I mean, you know, Kingdom Death Monster 1.5.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about this game no one's heard of?
This is a second printing for Kingdom Death Monster, the giant success that was on Kickstarter, 3 years ago?
Yeah, 3 or 4 years ago now, yeah.
Yeah. Made millions. Took Kickstarter by surprise. Broke so many records. And now they are back for a second printing. And to add extensions, change rule set, new playstyle, new miniatures, new monsters to go with it.
Break more records.
Yep. So, speaking of records, they are already over $5 million.
Yeah, and just to put this in perspective, the first Kickstarter
mm-hmm.
was $2 million of a $35,000 goal.
Yeah, on 30 days.
Yeah.
This has been out for 4 days?
4 or 5 days, yeah. I think it was a 45-day original. And they are looking for $100,000, and right now they're at $5 million with 40 days to go. Kind of crazy. It's a long-term Kickstarter, so they suspect the fulfillment for all pledges, all expansions, all unlocks will only complete in December of 2020.
Yeah. The shipping will be done in wave over the different years. So the base box will go next year, the core game, and some of the expansion will go the year after, and et cetera, et cetera. So you'll get stuff every year for the next 4 years.
It's like paying for Christmas baskets in advance.
Yeah.
And of course, it's important to say the models are gorgeous. The, you know, the product quality looks outstanding. The concept art's amazing. They've already added like cool add-ons, like the male pinup model. If you've seen that, Antoine?
Quickly.
Yeah. So
in passing.
It looks like a really cool knight. I know a lot of the female painters were like, finally a male pinup. So. But yeah, like always, it looks like he's doing some great stuff. It'd be interesting to see how this plays out and what his final total is.
Yeah, so the Kickstarter, at the time of the recording, went out 2 days ago only, on the 25th, or the 27th.
Oh, okay. I thought, because it says 40 days to go, so I thought actually it started at 45.
No, started at 42.
What a weird... Okay, my mistake, but what a weird number for a Kickstarter. Why 42 days?
Probably to end on a specific day of the week.
On Saturday the 7th? Okay. So yeah, this project will be fully funded on Saturday, January 7th, 2017. So, hop on the crazy train, folks. Go and pledge. It's not. I will say it's not a cheap Kickstarter, but what you get for what you pay is insane.
Oh yeah!
See all the components the game has for that, because I think the base game's a $200 price tag, isn't it?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before shipping.
Before shipping. But I think they mentioned at some point that it's like 17 pounds of board game. I mean, how do you go wrong?
Yeah, people were sending boxes and boxes for the first Kickstarter, and there will be even more stuff for this one. So, by the way, if you were a backer for the first one, they have an upgrade pack. You don't need to get the full Kickstarter. You can get an upgrade pack for $60 instead of the full $200.
Yeah, so the...
which they call the Lantern upgrade.
Yeah, and there was a sale for Black Friday, which the first 1,000 people already grabbed. So now it's a $60 upgrade. So not a huge amount. And it includes the stretch goals and upgrades, exactly. So that's pretty cool. All right, Antoine. I think we're done for this week. Anything like that?
Okay. Nothing.
All right, well, I'll see you next week.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out United Geeks Network Family Member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to unitedgeeksnetwork.com, where you will find Geeky Voyage, a geek and pop culture blog that explores a variety of fandoms and many pop culture favorites from film, television, music, and various other topics, with liberal doses of humor, quirky musings, and heavy fangirling thrown in. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at unitedgeeksnetwork.com.